Praise the Lord. What a wonderful hymn. It assures us that this robe that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us will remain the same. Even when everything in nature is decaying, the robe we have will remain the same. And that's such a wonderful assurance, the assurance of eternal life. Father, we just want to say thank you for this wonderful gift that you've given to us. You said you have come, Lord Jesus, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And thank you for counting us amongst those who has received or who have received that life and now can boldly say we have abundant life. Father, we're so grateful. Thank you for giving us your own Holy Spirit to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to show us things to come. Lord, we thank you for making us able ministers of this new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Thank you that we can boldly say this evening, our ability is of God. He is the one who has made us able as ministers of this new covenant. Oh Lord, come and speak through us. Open our ears to hear you. And at the end of your word, help us to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're looking at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we'll start from verse 19. The Apostle Peter, he said, "Forgive me if I seem to be repeating these things. I know you know them. But it is necessary for me to repeat them." So sometimes we might seem to be harping on the same thing. But then when you look at the word of God, you find that the gospel, the good news, has not changed from the time Christ started preaching the arrival of the kingdom. And this is what we're doing. There's nothing new under the sun. It says, from verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man amongst you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Praise God. So we see here, pure religion is defined. And pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's pure religion. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. So this is the goal. This is what we're aiming for. Now, in verse 26, it says, "If any man amongst you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. So we now have the tongue, which must be bridled. And then we have pure religion. An act, you go and visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And then you keep yourself unspotted from the world. So this is the end. This is what God expects of us. All that we're doing must be heading towards that way. It's like I'm going to Bedford. I must be on the route to Bedford. But if I say I'm going to Bedford, I'm in the opposite direction. There's a problem there. Now, let us look at what do we need to do to be able to meet up with these requirements. Most of the time, we hear the word of God, and a lot of us have so much knowledge. But sometimes you find that the problem is, how do I do it? How do I do it? Now it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So there must be a doing. You cannot say, I'm a child of God, I have faith in God, I love God, and then there's no works to prove what you are saying. Let us quickly look at Exodus 15:26. The children of Israel have just come out of bondage in Egypt, which is a type of being dead in sin, and now we're saved. And what does God tell them? If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, a doing, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. That's also a doing. He now says, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So there must be a doing. Now let us also look at Exodus 23:25. But before we go there, if you notice here, in this Exodus 15:26, it's the same thing. Don't be a hearer only. It says, if thou wilt diligently hearken, diligently, not just hearken, diligently hearken to the voice, you are hearing God, and then you do what he has asked you to do. Keep all his statutes. Praise God. Now we go to Exodus 23:25. Yes. Here we have, it says, oh la la, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from thee, from the midst of thee. So again, we see a doing. This is what we've been called to do. Diligently hearken, do what he commands us. Then now it says, you shall serve the Lord thy God. That's a direct instruction. Today, we have to ask ourselves, am I serving God? We see Jesus who went about doing good works. He was doing. He says, the work my Father has sent me to do, my meat is to do the will of my Father. So we now see that we must be hearers and doers. And James says, the person who does this is the one who is blessed. You see it? Because it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, He's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. Then he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the person who is blessed is the doer of the work. And where is he blessed? In his deed. So we now see the importance of doing. And let us go to John. 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Then it doesn't just say we do his commandments. It says, this is the commandment. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandments. So this is what we are to do. Believe on the name of his Son, love one another. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit he had given us. So that's why we can boldly say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He that keepeth his commandments. No one else. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. So now, how do I keep his commandments? And what is this commandment? Believe on the name of his Son, and then love one another. Our brother, in opening the service this evening, he mentioned something. He said, let your light so shine that men may see it. And do what? Glorify your Father. Why? By your works. By your works. The greatest influence anybody can have in this world is your behavior, your lifestyle, the pattern. Let's quickly go to Titus. Titus is one of the men that Paul ministered to, a son in the Lord of Paul. In Titus chapter 2 verse 7, it says, in all things, all, showing thyself a pattern of good work. Of good works, a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you, to say of you. So you see, that is your light so shining that men see it. You must be known, be seen. This is, nobody can say, oh, this man is not a good man. Even when they want to say negative things about you, they know in their conscience that, no, they are lying. So Titus 2:7, a pattern of good works, showing yourself in a pattern of good works. This is why we were saved. And then look at again in the same Titus, chapter 3, verse 8. He prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Now, all of us here, such a wonderful privilege from God to be able to share the word with us. Why? Because we're like family. We feel free with each other. It's no stress. Maintain good works. That's what the subheading in my Bible. Chapter 3, verse 8. It says, this is a faithful saying. Faithful. And these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, we will come to affirm constantly. You notice here it says, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. It's so important. People look at you. You don't know them. You don't even know they're watching you. And then you'll be surprised. Say, and you are supposed to be a Christian. And these people are unbelievers. So you will know that for them to say that, they know what kind of life is expected of a Christian. Even though they say, I'm not a believer. But they know that there's a standard that a Christian should exhibit. Say, look at you. Think you're. So how do we maintain this standard? How do we live this life? Let's go back to James. Now, James says, if any man, in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So you see that the first thing is your tongue. Bridle your tongue. What are you saying with your tongue? What are you saying? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we ask ourselves, what am I always saying? And this is such an important thing. The psalmist, forgive me, let us consider that we're at a dinner and we're having a buffet. Because the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So as we've had dinner, now this is our spiritual dinner. And you say, oh, I want to apologize for citing so many scriptures. No, I won't apologize. It is like dessert, the main meal, starters. So we're having different meals on the table, of which we're taking bits and pieces. So we're enjoying the word. So please, let's go to Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. See, the psalmist, filled with the Spirit of God, he prays. Psalm 141, verse 3. Are we all there? Okay. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And that's a prayer that we all need to pray. If need be, every day. Set a watch over my mouth. Why is this prayer so important? Keep the door of my lips. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 6:2. Proverbs 6:2. Proverbs 6:2. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Am I in a snare? Is anyone here in a snare? Have you seen anybody in a snare? It must have come by the words of his mouth. What has he been saying? Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Then let's go to Matthew 12:37. Matthew 12:37. We're talking now about true religion. True religion. That is pleasing to God. What we need to do to please God. Set a watch over my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Matthew 12:37. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we see again that how powerful our words are. How powerful our words are. Why we need to pray to God to help us. And so we can understand James, why he says, bridle your tongue. in that same James 1:20, it says, wherefore, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Speak is related to wrath, related to anger. Now, it says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. So let's go to an elaboration of this. And that is James chapter 3. In this chapter, in verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. It defileth and setteth on the course of nature, it is set on fire of hell. It says, no man can tame this tongue, it's full of deadly poison, in verse 8. It says, therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Every man we see, we must remember this man is made after the similitude of God. There is no basis for us to open this mouth with which we bless God with to curse a fellow man. So guard your tongue. Be slow to wrath. Be quick to hear. It says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, at the same place, sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. So what comes out of you determines what is inside you. You can't say, I am a true Christian and a believer, I love God, and then you are cursing other people, you are thinking bad thoughts, saying negative things. No. First thing of true religion, bridle your tongue. We've dealt so much with the tongue. Let's look at the next one. Visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's very simple. You know the fatherless, you know the widows. Do you just pass them by? Then, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Let's look at that. The love of the world, the same James tells us in verse 3 and 22. It says, James 4. The love of the world is enmity with God. The love of God, the love of the world is enmity with God. Yes, James 4:4. James 4:4. Now look at the word. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. None of us who is married would like to be called an adulterer or an adulteress. It says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So let it be clear, the world will hate you. Why? Because you are standing in the word and on the word of God. In the world, you will have tribulation. In me, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you will have peace. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we see here again that not only do you visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Don't let them say this man loves the world. Paul says, the cross of Jesus Christ, by which I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Nothing is attractive to the believer in the world, because he knows that the world has been judged and condemned. And he knows what he has. Praise the Lord. So we see where we are going and what we need to do. Okay, so let's go back again. It says, in verse 23, James, back to James. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man beholding himself, his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And here is the secret. You look into the perfect law of liberty. What is this perfect law of liberty? We were in bondage. We were dead in sin and trespasses. He whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Now, God came and set us free. Colossians 1. God came and set us free. Colossians chapter 1. He whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. We are free. That is the perfect law of liberty. It says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Wicked works. We were still doing works, but these were wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That's how Colossians 1, verse 21. 22, 23. You see, this is the good news. We were dead in sin and trespasses. He brought us back to life. Then he presented us to God holy, unblameable, irreprovable. That is how we are before God. Nobody can blame us. What the hymn we just sang now, it says, I'm guilt-free. And I'm coming to why we're guilt-free. Nobody can blame a true believer. He says, we're before God holy, we're before God unblameable, we're before God unreprovable. And we need to remind ourselves of these things. Before God, I am holy. Before God, I'm... But some of us, in our initial state, we'll start trying to be holy. How can I live a holy life? What can I do to be holy? No. This is what God did for you by sending Christ. Once we received Christ, we became holy. He presented us to God. We're now seated at his right hand in Christ. Now, he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Look at that word continue. If you continue in the faith. So the day you get born again, you know, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, is a new creature, all things have passed away, all things have become new. I am holy. I am presented to God, unblameable, irreprovable. You continue believing this. You must continue believing this, no matter what the enemy brings your way. Praise God. I hope we're making some progress. Again, let's go back to James so that we can understand what he's saying. You see, he says, if you look at that mirror, you forget the kind of man it is. But he says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, you look and remember, I've been set free. I'm holy, I'm blameless. And continueth therein. He's talking of the same word, continue. Continue. He being not a forgetful hearer. So you must now remind yourself daily. And that's why Titus said, remind them to affirm this constantly. The psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The enemy wants to come against you, say, I am redeemed. I am purchased by the blood. A price was paid for me. Christ has bought me, paid for me. I'm out of the domain of darkness. I must continually remind myself. So when things of darkness are happening all over the world, it can't come near me. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. even our faith. I agree with Jesus. He says, in him I will have peace. But if I leave him and go into the world, he said, there will be tribulation. He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We must continue to trust him. The angels of God encamps around me. So, the prophets, they wanted to come and take him. He said, his man was afraid. What will we do? The whole city is surrounded. We can't escape. He said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. And God, because of the relationship the prophet had with him, opened his eyes. And he saw the army, heavenly army. Blessed be the God of Jeshurun, who rides in the heavens for our help. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. Praise God. There was the angels of God encamped around those that fear him. Each and every one of us. Not only do we have a guardian angel, presently the angels of God are all around us. The blood of Jesus is covering us. No weapon fashioned against us can prosper. That is the promise of God for our lives. So he says, don't forget the manner of man that you are. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Be a doer of the work. Be a doer of the work. Don't be afraid. He has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not given you a spirit of worry and anxiety. He has given you a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Our brother preached this morning. Peter told them, he said, why are you looking as if it's not us? It's that power in the name of Jesus that has made this man whole. Believing in the name of Jesus has made this man whole. And we have believed. Anyone who has believed, Jesus is now living in him. He is no longer ordinary. Now, look at what James said. We will go to chapter 1, verse 18. Let's start with 16. It says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't err. Don't go into error. This is where the error comes from. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love, he gave us his only begotten Son. Now we have received him. That's why he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We have received that word. Now we must be doers of that word. How do we do it? We bridle our tongue. We only say what God says about us. Don't ever say what the world is saying or what the enemy is saying. Say only what God says. If you can't say anything, keep quiet. He now says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He begat us with the word of truth. You see, we were begot by this word. The word is what brought us into being. Please, let's quickly look at Psalm 119. Quickly, Psalm 119. We're getting to the end. Psalm 119. Brother, any touch on that this morning? Psalm 119, I think it's verse 73. In verse 73, it says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. See, we were begotten by this word. Now, the psalmist is asking for understanding. He's like, you have made me, your hands have made me. Then, in verse 93, he says, I will never forget thy precepts, For with them thou hast quickened me. I will never forget thy precepts. I will never forget your word. This is what has given me life. In him was the life. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. In him was the life. This life is our light. I will never forget thy precepts. How can we forget our source? Jesus Christ says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. How can we forget our very life? Imagine somebody on a life-saving machine with all those tubes going into his body. He now decides to pull it out. What's he saying? I'm tired of life. I will never forget thy precepts. He says, why will I not forget them? For with them thou hast quickened me. Another translation says, with them you have given me life. So, what do we need to do? We must remember who we are. We must never forget. A man looks at the mirror. He says, this is how I look. He goes out, he forgets immediately. No, that's not our lot. We must remember who we are. My people say, remember whose child you are. Remember from which family you come out from. So when you go out, how you behave is a reflection on your family. Let your light so shine that men may see it. See your good works and do what? Glorify your Father. Now, people saw that lame man who was lame from his mother's womb, from birth, as Brother Any minister this morning. He was sitting before the gates, day in, day out, no remedy. The Orthodox conventional rabbis, Pharisees, they couldn't help him, but they would complain that he was healed on a Sabbath. Because Jesus told them, you strain against the gnats, but you allow the elephants to enter. Now, this man, for the first time, met Christ. He was healed. He was jumping up. He was dancing. Everybody came to know more about this Christ. Our light should so shine. Men will see it. They want to come and know more about Jesus. But even if we're one, two, it doesn't matter. People see how we live. They see the blessing. This man will be blessed in his deeds. They see God's blessings upon our lives. They want to know, how are you doing it? Brother Nadim, how did you do it? Why are things going like this for you? I want to know this, your God. But if I'm taking a loan from the bank, they are taking a loan from the bank. If I'm struggling for this, they are struggling for this. If we're doing this, they are doing this. And they look at you, they look at me. What is the difference between us? They can't see it. But when they see the blessing of God on our lives, people say, yes, I want to know your God. We have a few more minutes. So let me stop here. Father, we just want to say thank you for reminding us that you have not called us to be ordinary. You have called us to display your light because you are the light. You've called us to display your blessings, which you have poured out upon our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. We were begotten by you. We have received him as our life. It is no longer us that lives. It is him that now lives in us. Help us to let him manifest freely through us so that men can see him and be drawn to him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.